All rise and welcome to this sports court of public opinion we call Foul Play-by-Play, providing play-by-play on the week's cheats, cheap shots, and alleged criminals in sports. I'm your host, Anthony Variano, and I'm joined by the brothers Hawes, Michael, our attorney on retainer, and Bradley, our gambling addict, expert. Bradley, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Are you ready for this? We know how this game goes. We've done it in the past. It's called opening arguments. It usually requires Mike to be the attorney and Brad to be the everyman. And we try to give Brad a few easy wins. So here we go. The first argument that we have on the docket is the People versus Dana White. This is a story that's as old as New Year's Eve. Dates back to when Dana White was videoed slapping his wife at a New Year's Eve party. It does show that she instigated the slapping, but we don't know if that's, you know, applicable or even, you know, relevant. So while he says losing his UFC perch wouldn't be no punishment for him, Endeavor, the people who own UFC, has been slammed by the California Legislative Women's Caucus for continued silence after a leaked video that showed him slapping his wife. So I'll give this one to Brad to choose first. Who would you like to defend?
Well, I just got off the phone with Dana a couple days ago talking about Conor McGregor coming back to the UFC finally. So yeah, I'm going to take Dana White, please.
Wow. Thank Shocking. All right, Brad, kick it off. Defend oh yeah, that's right. Okay. So Mike, you got to tell us how this goes again. Does the prosecutor go first or does the defense go first?
Prosecutor goes first. The advantage.
That means, Michael, you get to bring the people's case forward.
See how I'm nice on this first one and I give him the advantage?
I think you're a little too nice, frankly.
All right, the people. And this is not just the people of California. This is the people of America, the people of the world. And for women out there everywhere. First of all, I mean, I do kind of feel bad for Dana White. He is the president of UFC. I think he owns like 10% of UFC stock. So he's a very, very wealthy man. I think his initial investment of $2 million back in 2001. So now his investment's in the billions. So I do feel bad for him. it would be nice if you look at his history. He has been one of these celebrity businessmen who throws out all these statements when other people fuck up. He takes the moral high ground. He's attacked Kanye West for Kanye West anti-Semitic crap he puts out there. He's came down hard on Mel Gibson, for Mel Gibson apparently is no fan of Jewish people either. And I find it very humorous that in the past, his quote was, "There's one thing that you never bounce back from, and that's putting your hands on a woman." Huh. Look at how that has played out for the man now, huh? So I don't know what kind of punishment he deserves. Obviously, none will happen. He's a very powerful white businessman, so they get away with whatever they want. But I think he should be punished essentially somehow, being that he said you can't bounce back from these kind of incidents. And lo and behold, he's caught doing what he says you never should do.
He doesn't seem to need to bounce back either, because there was no blowback in the first place. ESPN has been pretty quiet on this front because their relationship with UFC. Brad, you're muted. I'm going to give you time. Don't worry.
There I don't know what go. The fuck happened there.
I New muted technology. You because I didn't want Mike to get interrupted. So This is your opportunity to bring your defense of Dana White to the court.
Number one, like Dana White says, he doesn't condone any of his actions. It was a thing that happened between two grown people, I think is what he said, blah, blah, blah. Yes, he should never do this. Number one, he owns the UFC for the most part. So what are you going to do? You're going to slap his hand? sorry, Ari Emanuel. Like, you can't do anything to him. The biggest one where he's got the most leverage is all the money that ESPN threw at him the last 2 years to specifically put UFC on ESPN pay-per-view. The amount of money they threw at him, he can't lose. Is ESPN just going to all of a sudden drop the UFC? No fucking way. There's no way they're going to. I'm not saying what he did was absolutely right. He's kind of like walking on water right now. He can basically do whatever the fuck he wants. It's his shit. I mean, unless you have the athletes who are under contract by him want to step out, or ESPN wants to say, hey, we're not going to put your stuff on ESPN Plus anymore, which then in turn, what does he do? He either creates his own platform or has somebody else do it for him. There's too much money involved. It's a sad thing, but sorry, there's nothing going to happen to Dana White on this instance.
Well, this is an impartial court of law, so money has no place here. Your defense of Dana White is basically, he is Jesus fucking Christ.
It's above the law.
He was never indicted on this. There were no charges brought.
No.
So that's one of my biggest things, that if there are no charges ever brought against, say, Dana White or these athletes, I don't think you should be able to punish them. And number one, how do you punish the boss? Like, I don't know.
You could take his bossship away. You could make him not the boss anymore. Like, that would be that, he says it's not a punishment, you know, like you say, he's got more money than God or whatever, but it is a punishment when you take somebody's livelihood away. Like, you know, when people go into retirement, their lives change and they, you know, they lose a part of themselves that is important to their personality. And I think that's what happened. That would be punishment enough, I think, for Dana White to not be, to have that, to take that power away from him would be a punishment.
So you're basically saying, so he wouldn't have he wouldn't be the face of the UFC. I could see that possibly. He's still going to have his fingers in there getting the money and whatnot. But I think he is very egotistical, where he wants to be on stage with these fighters. He wants to be the voice.
Oh yeah. So, he's not in a position where like he needs to do that anymore. He actually just enjoys that aspect of the job. He also enjoys not paying his fighters though, which is pretty convenient, right? For his bottom
some
line.
Of them
all of I them mean, all of them are severely underpaid, including Conor McGregor, which is why he had to box in order to make money.
He just made more money. Conor McGregor, it was the UFC, that's why he was the highest paid fighter. I mean, don't get me wrong, is he worth more money? Probably. But I mean, we can get into that aspect on all of sports. You know, LeBron James is worth way more than his $45 million he's getting a year. I mean, you can't put a price tag on what he's worth. So,
right.
I mean,
that starts a different argument, which is off the point and really dumb, because yeah, he's worth more than his $45 million contract, but the NBA as a franchise is worth more than what LeBron makes. And I would argue LeBron is the NBA. But back to
Dana White, though, he is the UFC. So, I mean, like, is this Ari Emanuel really want to screw over himself?
It's Ari.
Like, Ari, sorry.
Rogan, too, man. He's up there, too.
I don't know.
All right. I'm ready to make my ruling. There's no way I can rule in favor of Dana White. It's just not happening. So Michael gets the win in this first one.
That's bias.
It's not bias. It's the man should lose his job. He should not be in charge of USC. And he probably should have lost it a long time ago, just
Tony, to interrupt your ruling, which judges always get pissed off at, it would have been nice for ESPN just to call him out as a fucking hypocrite. That would have been nice, just in the court of public opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just
ESPN's been mum.
But
it's hard to call him a hypocrite, though, when he's the one who said you can't bounce back from this in the first place. So,
no,
been very apologetic about everything. He's like, yeah, there's nothing I can say that's going to, make me help me in my situation. Like, I said what I said, and I stand by it, and I made the mistake anyways.
Actually, and he is right. You never bounce back from it if nothing bad ever happens to you.
Exactly. Yeah. There's nothing to bounce back from. He's Jesus fucking Christ, as Brad says. So Brad might be right, but I still think he should lose his job. Anyway, let's go to the next argument on the docket. Name, image, and likeness versus the NCAA. If the NCAA has its way, Congress will pass legislation to nationalize NIL rules, declare that college athletes aren't employees, and insulate amateurism from antitrust scrutiny. If you're unfamiliar, amateurism is a word that was made up to make sure that colleges wouldn't lose all their money due to health insurance claims by injured football players, if you can believe that. So basically, the NCAA is trying to convince Congress to let them have an antitrust, pass by. I mean, just looking for a free pass from Congress to make sure that they don't have to call college athletes employees. And now I guess Mike gets to choose which side he likes to defend.
Oh, God, I will defend the athletes.
All right.
Bullshit.
Well, what? You like the big guys that are bigger than Jesus, Brad.
All right, Mike, that means you've the NCAA is defending itself against NIL, I guess, in this situation, the way that I have it written. So you have to go first, Mike.
All right. This is no surprise that they're going to, and they've been lobbying Congress the past couple of years with recent changes. So it's no big surprise that the NCAA wants to do this. The NCAA is a huge business. Businesses care about one thing, profit, way more than people. So, I mean, if you're going to actually have to pay your workers, and I will call college athletes workers, if you don't have to pay them, it does not affect their bottom line at all. The reason they want this legislation is because, yes, that's going to cut their profits. That being said, who puts the butts in the seats and makes the money is the workers. So pay the damn workers their money. And I'm not even just talking about the athletes here. Anybody that's involved in these programs should be making money with the amount of money the NCAA makes off of these. What do they call them? Amateurs? Give me a fucking break. That's my...
Please watch your language in my courtroom.
Well, that's number one, what they are. They are amateurs since they are not getting paid directly by the schools. That constitutes them as an amateur. So that's why they should be able to do this type of stuff. Keep that money away from these kids because they're too young. They don't know where and what to do with this type of money that they would be getting. Put it back into the school system so the school systems can educate people and further the education systems that these big colleges offer. I mean, that's keep the money there. I think trying to take money away from these kids is just, the kids don't need it. The schools need the money. That way they can still offer these grand things and give you this piece of paper that means the world to you so you can go out and get jobs. If you give this kid a couple hundred thousand, he's going to blow it on strippers and cocaine and whatnot, and then he's going to be broke.
He's not wrong.
Looking for a handout then. So get your education first. Keep the money where it needs to be in educating these young sports athletes. Amateur sports athletes.
I want to take this a little further. I love how we're looking into the future of how students would spend this money on hookers and blow. Like, I want to see this future. If we don't help the NCAA protect itself from having to pay amateurs as employees, what do we foresee as the result of that? Mike, go ahead.
What we think the result of the NCAA would be if they actually had to pay these kids.
Yeah.
And by kids, I mean adults who could go fucking serve in our military.
or work anywhere, work for the university itself, frankly, as a janitor, if they wanted to.
It's going to cut some profits. That's what it's going to cut. I do love my brother's argument about the best way to protect people is to not give them money.
Yeah. Hey, it's the best way to protect me. I was one of those stupid people who got money and ended up spending it on, things like hookers and blow.
I also love the argument about, some of these students are getting full ride tuition to get that piece of paper. So if we really did care about education, let's take NCAA basketball. I think we should cut down the number of games so these kids can actually spend more time in school then and learn something, as opposed to freaking training all the time and playing basketball games. Let's cut it down to like one game every 2 weeks. So
that's wrong. That's wrong. Like,
I would love that. If it's about educating these students, let's educate them to the fullest.
Yes, but then if you start taking away the revenue that the NCAA makes, you're going to have to start taxing these people in these states more money to allow these kids to go to school and whatnot, which...
I'm going to tell you a secret. They're already doing that. The amount of money on freaking college sports generally does not go back into the university system to educate people.
Prove it.
Take my alma mater, me and Tony's alma mater, MSU. Tuition has been increasing the past 25 years, and we have one of the most successful football programs in the Big Sky Conference. The money's not going back into the university for what we think of college, like the school to teach.
No, it goes into supporting sports that can't support themselves and to building better facilities for that football program.
Yeah,
which they need.
It's like a pro sport. I mean, it's these entities are attached to the college, but none of the funds they're making are supporting the academics of the school.
Brad, tell us a little bit about the future as you see it. If NIL is the only means of salary, I guess we'll call it, for amateur athletes.
Honestly, what's going to happen is I think collegiate sports will be gone. I just don't see collegiate sports being around anymore.
If the NCAA doesn't get antitrust protection from Congress.
Yes. Why go to school then? I think you'll see other things popping up, kind of like you have with the what's the NBA one? The X League or
something? Oh, the G League.
The one before, there's another one. Isn't there another one? Like,
oh, I'm not sure.
Kids right out of high school can get paid now to go play.
They could go overseas if they were, you know, good enough.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. I think college sports as we know it will be gone. These other private things will come up where these guys will give the kids some money as opposed to the college.
And I think we've already seen some of that because, like, you know, my interest in college sports has decreased as a result. Like, it's just, I have no interest in the sport because, you know, most of these kids, like when Zion was the last year that I actually watched college basketball. And I was like, this guy is so far and ahead of everyone else in this league. He has no business here. The only reason he's here is because he cannot go to the draft. And I think that those ages for age requirements for the drafts for every sport, pretty much except football, will start falling to just 18 years old. And a lot of the like college basketball on both the men's and women's side, college hockey is already taking a hit with kids coming straight out of high school, especially out of this state, Minnesota. It's already, I mean, the NCAA is feeling pressured already enough to ask Congress for this, which indicates to me that they're worried. And they ought to be, I think.
Not to go back on like what I'm trying to argue for, but that, I mean, that's the thing is for the longest time, the NCAA ruled it all. They got all the money. They didn't have to give back to this thing. And this was the kid's stepping stone. Now it's not the kid's stepping stone. So, I mean, like, that's where, as the NCAA, you have to fight, number one, to keep the money coming in to you to want to make the type of money that you're making. And you can't give it back to the kid. Like, I am all for the NIL. It's going to ruin college sports, though. I do think that these kids deserve money because they're not allowed to go out and work and whatnot. But NCAA sports is...
Well, and this isn't a challenge against NIL. It's a means to nationalize NIL. So it's, you know, the rules governing name, image, and likeness don't change from state to state. So regardless, NIL is going to exist.
Yes.
But Congress is asking for nationalization of that NIL because at this point it's exists on a state to state basis, which makes it, you know, it makes more some states more competitive than others. It makes it easier to get the best recruits, etc. That said, I'm ready to issue my ruling. I'm taking Brad's side here as a fan of minor league baseball and the antitrust lawsuit that Congress supported in order to protect minor league baseball and allow minor league baseball to pay its players less than minimum wage in order for that those teams and those leagues to exist. I will allow the NCAA to nationalize name, image, and likeness rules across the nation so kids can get paid, but not from their universities.
Thank you, Your Honor.
As long as they don't get hurt.
Actually, those contracts don't have injury clauses in them, so they're going to get paid regardless.
What contracts?
The national image and likeness contracts that they sign with whatever company wants them to advertise for them. Like, it's
no. I understand that. I'm saying these kids, whatever. This is like saying paying NFL players more money would ruin the league. It's fucking ludicrous. I disagree with the judge. I'm appealing this to a higher court.
Okay, you go ahead and do that. And while you start writing that appeal, let me tell everybody where we're getting these stories. It's from a great site called Sportico. And a lot of them are written by Michael McCann. The one about the UFC was by Jill Goldsmith and Dominic Patton. If you're not familiar with Sportico, it's a great source of information. A lot of their stories are just copy and pasted by Yahoo and posted on Yahoo. So you can find them there. There, of course, you can find the links to all these stories in the post that we'll put on Foul Play by Play. So it's 2-2 and we're even. And that means Brad gets to choose which side he wants to defend in the Detroit Police and Fire Retirement System versus Vince McMahon and WWE. Oh, man. Wrestling. I'm so excited.
Yeah, you gotta provide us a little backstory on this one because I don't know what the fuck we're even.
All right. Well, Vince McMahon is a bad man, and he is alleged. Well, not alleged. He paid off women whom he may or may not have sexually. No, he did sexually assault women and paid them to be quiet. So he left WWE for a while, and now he's back. And it seems they're investigating a sale potentially to Saudi Arabia for like $8.6 billion, because I can't believe that's what WWE's worth, but there's no way it's worth that much.
Quick question. So the Saudis are going to own golf and wrestling now?
Live Golf is actually kind of not turned out so well for them, it sounds like, but that's a whole different story. So the Detroit's police and fire retirement system sued WWE executive chairman Vince McMahon last Thursday. This was a long Thursday ago, many Thursdays, seeking a declaration that would effectively block the 77-year-old billionaire from regaining control of WWE's board of directors and prevent him from expediting a sale. He is currently he didn't care for that, so he got rid of the board members that challenged him and now does head the board of directors. The requirement system requests that its complaint, which was filed in Delaware's Court of Chancery, be recognized as a class action on behalf of other WWE stockholders. Apparently, Detroit Police and Fire Retirement System is a stockholder of WWE. Vince McMahon is the majority stockholder of WWE, however, as well. The complaint could slow a potential sale of WWE, which, as I said, has an enterprise value of a ridiculous $8.6 billion. There's no way that's the case, because all of their entities on all their programming has experienced dips, declines in views. So, and this is according to Sportico's estimates. So, Bradley, who would you like to defend? The Detroit Police and Fire Retirement System or Vince McMahon of WWE?
Vince McMahon.
Wow. He has gone against everything I would have done in this segment. Mike, bring it.
I'm not a big fan of cops.
Not a great way to start your argument for the Detroit Police and Fire Retirement System, but you're not actually defending cops here. You're defending their pensions.
Yeah, their retirement. I find it hilarious that our public servants' retirements are tied up in a fucking decision.
Well, it's
about
probably just an ETF that some stockbroker said, well, this is going to be good for you guys. Yeah.
I don't even know how to fucking defend this one because I don't know what the Jesus, this one's gonna be horrible. We might just have to cut this one out of the mix because I'm a stockholder and he owns more stock than me, so
right,
we shouldn't.
They're trying to stop a potential sale because they don't believe Vince McMahon is worthy of being the head of the board and making that decision. That's all.
Okay. I'll make my arguments quick. Everybody knows Vince McMahon. He's synonymous with wrestling. That's what Brad's going to say. We wouldn't have wrestling without Vince McMahon. That being said, he's a fucking asshole. First and foremost. And he's been out of control the past 20 years. I would like to see all the remaining skeletons in his closet. I don't think this is even the fucking top of the fucking mountain here, or the iceberg, however that saying goes. So this sport, which has grown and it's got
Thank Tony, you for calling it a sport, by the way.
These people like Tony is getting actually interest among what I used to call regular sports fans. And it's being considered a stew place.
That would make us exceptional sports fans.
That's a debate for another day. But the image that we have now of the WWE, as opposed to even 10 years ago, I think it's in a better place. So to revert back to individuals like McMahon is just going to undo, I guess, this good path that the WWE has been on. And we just don't need those scumbags involved in this great sport that is professional wrestling.
That's a pretty Objection. Good argument from somebody who you know how to get to this judge. You know how to get me right in the heart. Mike, Bradley, sorry, your rebuttal.
Well, let's just go put it this way. So they have the Detroit Police and the Fire Retirement System have their money tied up in their stockholders. You were the first one to say it. If this is selling for an ridiculous $8.6 billion, shouldn't this help the stockholders? Let him sell it. I mean, cash out. Put your stuff into the ECW where you'll probably make more money.
Maybe they think that if Vince McMahon wasn't the face of WWE, it could go for more.
Well, that's a good argument by the judge there. I just $8.6 billion, I mean, I'd sell that shit right away. And if I own stocks in that and you wanted to sell it for me, Tony, let's go. I mean, I don't think WWE is as big as it used to be. That in $8.6 billion, that's a lot of money. I mean,
Mike, you got anything else on this?
On this?
Yeah.
I don't think he made a very good argument, so you should rule in my favor.
I am going to rule in your favor. neither of you made a very good argument, but I am going to rule in your favor because Vince McMahon is an asshole, which I think was the first thing you said, and that's a great place to start. But my thing is the Detroit Police and Fire Retirement System, whoever's in charge of this and brought this lawsuit forward, is right. And Mike, even though you don't follow wrestling, you were also right. WWE has been on a better path since Vince McMahon was taken off the creative team. And since he's been back, it's just been a mess of rumors and news of him selling to the Saudis and entertaining a deal with just very unsavory people. And I think that's what Detroit Police and Fire Retirement System are afraid of, is WWE ending up in hands even worse than Vince McMahon, which is why Vince McMahon cannot be the person in charge of selling this company, because I don't even know if he's like mentally stable. I would like to order a psychiatric review of this man, first of all. And then I'd like to see if there's any other charges that come out of the woodwork against him in order to make sure that he doesn't end up the head of the board. But anywho, it looks like Michael's our winner today. The attorney wins again. And the Everyman, you know, you did yourself a disservice there with choosing to defend. But, you know, I admire you for that. And that's you tried to defend Dana White, and that's a hard thing to do. And you tried to defend Vince McMahon, and that's a hard thing to do. And hell, you even defended the NCAA, which I agreed with, which I usually wouldn't. But in that case, yeah. All right, let's talk about Nick Kyrgios a little bit, my favorite tennis player. He pleaded guilty to assault, but Magistrate Jane Campbell didn't record a conviction against Kyrgios for reasons including that the offense was at the low end of seriousness for a common assault and was not premeditated. Backstory here, 2 years ago or so, he pushed down his girlfriend at the time, and she scraped her knee. So he pleaded guilty. The case was dismissed. He issued a very apologetic statement afterwards. He struggled with depression and suicidal thoughts in the past and continues to struggle with depression as a result of his most recent knee surgery that kept him out of the Australian Open, which we sorely missed him. What do you guys have to say about this? Mike, I'll start with you since you are the attorney and might understand how someone can plead guilty to something and then end up getting the case dismissed.
It's totally on the judge. I love what the judge did here. I mean, you just laid out, it's not an allegation. He pled guilty. I mean, yep. So it did happen. I'm not saying you should push people over, but advocate for any kind of domestic abuse. That being said, this incident, it didn't sound like much, and he has been very apologetic about it, but I think this is a result where, I mean, he should be thanking his stars for this judge, because I think she ended up with the right result, where it's, you can get a little help, but this is a situation where he doesn't need a conviction like this on his record, and this would be nice if the system could work like this for everybody.
I mean, isn't there a situation where like prosecution wouldn't even bring this to a court of law simply because of it doesn't satisfy the prerequisite for assault?
Well, this does.
It does.
He caused bodily injury, no matter how
minor
it was. And the fact that I think most of the states have reasonable apprehension of fear. So if generally in cases like this, if a male gets angry and pushes a female over, I mean, I would assume, and it's not, I'm not saying they're making this up, but I would assume you'd be a little scared. And it sounds like misdemeanor assault anyway. So it doesn't sound like they overly charged him.
Yeah.
First
Brad,
place.
Your thoughts?
I will say, you know, for a guy that's struggling with depression and whatnot, and he owned up to it. He didn't go hide behind lawyers and say that he didn't do it. I don't know what happened in the court. I don't know if him and his girlfriend are still together. What the story is that, I mean, I don't know if she's going after him for shit now or whatnot. The guy owned up to it. And like Mike said, you know, thank you for this judge, which it's not the right thing to do, but he did it. He owned up to it. He's taken the proper steps. And it's just sad because this is one of the funnest guys to watch on the tennis court. He's the reason I watch tennis, him and Coco. He's fun. Like, he's fun. It sucks that you have to go through this mental shit like that. And
I should add that, you know, it's not just physical abuse that causes fear either. You know, it can be just verbal abuse. And that they argued a lot. So that's enough to scare somebody sometimes, you know, when you get an argument with someone who's as physically imposing as Nick Kyrgios. I think, shit, he would scare the pants off me. Let's move on. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Brad.
No, I was just going to agree with your statement right there. It's a shitty thing. It sucks.
Well, I want to talk about
the right hill.
Yeah, me too. I want to talk about this men's ball used in the first half of a Duke FSU women's basketball game. How the fuck does this happen? Can someone tell me that? How does a referee not know the difference between a goddamn women's and men's basketball?
I'm not going to put it on the ref necessarily too, but how do these women not know?
Oh, the players were complaining about it all throughout the first half. But once you start playing with the ball, you cannot remove the ball until an intermission.
So they could send out a fucking tennis ball and you play with a tennis ball?
If you start with a tennis ball, you have to play at least the first half with that tennis ball. It's like if you were to start – I was officiating like this little league baseball game, and they had those practice balls that are kind of like rubberized, and when you hit it, it really bounces so it doesn't hurt anybody when it hits somebody. And I was like, oh, that is not the right ball, but that's all we had to play with. So then somebody went to their car and got us some official balls. And then we had to finish the other half the other half inning with the ball we started with in order to, you know, to preserve fair play.
I get the fair play, but if you find out right away that these women are saying, hey, this ball is too big, stop the game right then and there.
Yeah.
Did
they not have a women's ball in the building? That's my question. Did they have some problems finding the storage closet with the correct balls?
Well, and also, like, what's the deal with these refs? I mean, every basketball game from college to professional, shoot, even high school, before you fucking do the jump ball at the beginning, you got one of those assholes checking the ball.
The captains. Like, the captains come onto the court and, yes, and hold the ball, yes.
Yeah. Like, I just don't. The coach for Duke, I think, was right, though. How the fuck does this happen? There's got to be.
Carol Lawson is her name.
Yeah, and I think Brad was on the right. I don't even care if there's not a rule for it, or if I don't see why you have to play a whole half out. I don't see why at the first
sign of trouble, stop the game, replace it. You've already played the same amount of time with the same ball. But that's the thing is, like, shit, maybe you haven't played the same number of possessions. I don't know.
No, I know.
There isn't a very good story. Like, that's the thing. The NCAA has not provided a reason for why this happened, and they're not going to, because they could give a shit about women's sports.
I think that's exactly the point made there. Go back to my earlier point at the beginning of this segment. NCAA could have put a few more fucking commercials on there to make themselves more money. Get the goddamn right ball. This is just, and then to have a coach come out and say that, you know, men would never be treated
never happen
this
in
way.
A women, like, yeah, men's game, never.
Like, that should never have to be said.
Right.
Like, get the right fucking equipment there. I mean, for Christ's sake, like, it just, when
You're
I
the
saw
the biggest
it,
basketball conference in basketball.
Just dumb.
Yeah. Anyhow, this is how the ladies shot with that ball. The Blue Devils were 7 for 34. And FSU was 12 for 38. Wow, that's not good. Anyways, we're just less than a minute left, so we've got to say goodbye. I'd like to thank Bradley and Michael for joining me for this episode of Foul Play-by-Play. And I'd like to thank all of you for listening. Tune in to foulplaybyplay.com for everything that we do, including Minnesota Foul Play-by-Play, where we provide colorful commentary on Minnesota sports. Have a great one.
Please use the right ball.
Yes, and use the right ball.
And Minnesota fans, watch more Lynx basketball.
Please do.
They actually had a dynasty. I mean, they're the best.
The best team in Minnesota.
Ever produced, so.
I'll be courtside. You can look for me there.
All right, later, guys.
Bye.
Bye.